August 10th, 2012. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. For people who can tell the difference between the truth and disinformation and indoctrination, to see the guest lineup for Studios A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. Please visit the radio schedule page for this program at spingola.com to see a list of my guests together with links to their websites. For questions or comments during the program, please email spingola1 at yahoo.com. Otherwise, my regular email is deanna at spingola.com. We will take your calls in the second hour after the first break when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Dr. Robert Sungenis, the founder of the Bellarmine Report. That website is CatholicINTL.com. It is linked on the radio schedule page. He is a Catholic writer and lecturer working for Catholic Apologetics International Publishing, Inc., a nonprofit international evangelistic organization dedicated to teaching and defending the Catholic faith. CAI produces books, audio, and videotapes, holds conferences, seminars, and debates. He is the author of The Catholic Apologetic Study Bible, Volumes 1 through 6, and Galileo Was Wrong, The Church Was Right, Volumes 1 and 2, and the most recent abridged edition of that book, Galileo Was Wrong, The Church Was Right. He is married and is the father of 11 children. But we are not going to talk about his work today. Instead, he is going to do a review of one of the chapters in Hugh Atkins' recent publication, Synagogue Rising. Welcome to the program, Doctor.
Nice to be here, Deanna. Thanks for having me today.
Well, thank you. And you have 11 children.
I do. Hard to believe, huh?
Do you need name tags?
I think I... My kids tell me that I need name tags because I point to one of them and I blurt out at probably about four names before I get to theirs.
I think large families are wonderful. I was not from one, but I really appreciate large families. They're just wonderful. They learn so many things by sharing with others and yeah, I think that's great. Alrighty, so I received Hugh's book. It's really fat. It's 780 pages or some such. Maybe not. Okay, 700 pages. It does not have an index. That's always the first thing that I look for in a book. Is I look at the back to see the index, and there wasn't one. But other than that, I think it's very well done. He's got everything in that book that you could imagine. And we kind of decided that you were going to concentrate on one chapter. It was hard to decide which chapter was you know, the best one. Anyway, we were going to, let me find it here, focus on chapter 9, I believe it was. But it's a wonderful book, and people can get it by going to Hugh's website or by going to Amazon, I believe. I believe you can also get it on Amazon. But you have read the book, and you were going to write something about the book in, the Barnes Review?
No, this was going to be for Culture Wars.
That's right.
I've had an ongoing series in Culture Wars reviewing books of this nature. And Hugh asked me to write a review for his book, and that's in the offing somewhere.
Right.
I haven't gotten to it yet.
Right. I take both the Barnes Review and Culture Wars and appreciate both of those fine journals. All righty. We do have to take a three-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? from GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Hey, John, you know, we were kind of wondering
what?
That, well, we knew you guys were saving stuff and getting ready for something like
yes.
this.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say
the is, answer's no.
Man, I've been your friend for 20 years. We played on the company softball team together.
We simply don't have enough food.
But I'm your friend.
Look, Norbert, I came to you 3 years ago, and you basically called me crazy and walked away.
But...
Sorry.
Bummer.
Folks, they may be rolling their eyes at you now, but they'll be on your front porch when it all hits the fan. So why don't you mosey on over to TexasReady.net and order up a Liberty Seed Bank for you, your shirt-tail relatives, and all your non-prepping friends. Order your bank at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas ready?
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Dr. Robert Sungenis. He is the founder of the Bellarmine Report. That website is CatholicINTL.com. It is linked. And if you want to purchase the book that we're going to talk about today, you may go to SynagogueRising.com. And you mentioned that you write for Culture Wars, and you've been doing that since at least January of 08.
No, actually before that, but I started a series of articles on the topics that we're finding in Hugh's book around that time, around 2008.
Okay, great. And you took kind of a hiatus from the Catholic Church to which you were born into and were gone for like 18 years?
Right. Yeah, that happened when I was a teenager, 19 years old. And, I was an elder in the Protestant church. I was on the radio, national radio program, teaching the Bible. That went on for 18 years. And then I had a conversion experience back to the Catholic Church in 1992. And I became a Catholic apologist at that point in time, defending the church's doctrines. And, around the time, I guess it was around 1998, 99, 2000, I began to see there was a lot of problems in the Catholic Church as well. And so I started writing about those. One of the articles that I wrote in 2008 for Culture Wars dealt with a very interesting topic. The Catholic Adult Catechism in the United States had made a statement as doctrine on page 131, where it said that the Jews still had their old covenant from the Old Testament. It was still valid for them. So I wrote an article for Culture Wars opposing that teaching. I also wrote letters to the Vatican and the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And within 6 months after writing that article, the bishops of the United States had an executive session meeting, as they do every year, and they voted to take that heretical teaching out of the catechism. So we did have an impact. Culture wars does have an impact. That was one of the most astounding reversals, as Mike Jones, the editor, said, that he's ever seen in 30 years of writing the magazine. So, for those who think that we're not being listened to, they are listening.
Right.
And sometimes things do happen.
Right. All righty. Now, about the book, Hugh Atkins' Synagogue Rising. Now, I'm not Catholic, but I certainly do embrace many of the things that he teaches in his book, and also other things that I read in Culture Wars and elsewhere. So chapter 9 is Jewish Dominance Over America. And I think that you'd have to go quite a ways to find somebody that doesn't believe that, or at least somebody that's knowledgeable.
That's the irony about the whole thing is, everybody knows it. It's just not everybody's willing to talk about it. And it's so pervasive that when you get to the point where even the people who may be against you and your friends know that you're in control and are afraid to say so, that just tells you how much control they really have.
Right.
So it's very dangerous.
It is. And Hugh talks about the kind of control that they have is not just over money, not just over, well, it's over everything, basically. They are in charge of just about everything, everything in the country.
Yeah.
That you might look, if you look behind the curtain, you'll find that there's one there and that they are controlling that. And, of course, if you control the federal government, you control all the Congress people. You are contributing to all of them. They all have to be actually evaluated in Israel before they can even be part of the U.S. government. And Hugh points all of this out. And so anyway, I'll just turn the time over to you and tell us your thoughts about how Zionism controls us.
Well, you know, what I wanted to do, if it's okay with you, Deanna, is to go back in history a little bit to see where all this started, because the natural question would arise if the Jewish people only comprise 3% of the population in the United States, how is it that they have gotten into the leadership of almost every sector of our society? And let's name some of those sectors. You've mentioned government, politics, education, science is another one, Hollywood, newspapers, radio, television. You just go down the list. Any sector of society that has the capability of communicating its ideas with the population, well, those are the leaderships of the world. And especially the United States, that comprises a lot of the information technology that the world presently uses. So they're in all these sectors of society. How did they get there? Would be a basic question you would need to ask. Now, Hugh's book basically goes into the data that you would want to know about where are they, what sectors of society are they in, what are the names behind the leadership, how are they operating today, what pressures are they putting on politicians or educators or whatever. Hugh has done a tremendous job in giving all those facts and data to us, and I commend him for that. As a matter of fact, I joked to him about this book. I said, I know the kitchen sink is in there somewhere. I haven't found it yet, but I know it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, I read that.
Because he's just gives us a plethora of data that once you've read his book, and I have to admit myself, I haven't read every word of the book yet either. It's just hard to do because it's, like you said, almost 800 pages. I thought I was bad when I wrote my books. Mine are 600 or 700 pages long and sometimes 800. And I can see why people feel the way they do when they say, well, I've got to chapter one of your book and I haven't gotten any further, because it's a chore to read. But once you sit down and read it, you are just absolutely amazed at the amount of information he gives you. So, that's a good place to start off. But what I would like to do from my perspective, I have a theological perspective on these things. And I see a lot of that in Hugh's book, but I want to give the larger picture here. That is, sure. Where does all this come from? Well, it came from around the 1800s. Prominent Jewish people started writing literature extolling the Jewish people. And there were Jewish bankers, like the Rothschilds, for example, in the 1800s, who were gaining prominence in the world and using their muscle and their money to basically control things. So basically that's where it all starts, is around the 1850s or so. And as a Catholic, this is important because that's when all the visions of the Marian visions started. There was basically a flood of heaven's information given to the world at the same time the devil and his minions were rising around the 1850s and beyond. And it was basically a war between God and the devil that was occurring at that point in time, much more than it had been in previous centuries. The Jews in previous centuries were basically an underclass society. They were dominated by the Christian world from the time of the put-down of Arius in the 3rd and 4th centuries, until the 1850s. They were basically a suppressed people, and Christianity dominated the world. Around the 1850s and so, things began to turn around. The Jewish religion and their politics and their money became much more prominent, and they began to gain much more power in the world. And at the same time, Christianity was becoming more suppressed. So you have almost a complete reversal of roles here, whereas for, you would say, 1,500 years, Christianity was the dominant force in the world. And then after that, then the Jews became the powerful people in the world. And it has only gained ascendancy since that time. And so that's the larger picture here. That's where it all comes from. And, for example, in Russia, prior to the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, and the Bolshevik Revolution, we should say, was mainly a leadership of Jews, okay? And they were coming from the writings of Karl Marx in his Communist Manifesto, but they were basically Jews. 70% of the commissars in Russia at that point in time were Jews. But prior to that, prior to 1917, the Russian people their leadership was the Tsar, and he was a Christian. And that they go back 500 years, what we call the Romanov dynasty. They were in control for that long period of time, and they had the best economy in the world at that point in time. Before the Jewish Bolsheviks took over in 1917, the Russian economy was the best in the world. And this was all done by the czars who cared for the people. As a matter of fact, they had the Peasant Bank of Russia, and I think the banking industry was owned by 70% of these people in Russia who were basically peasants. And the czar allowed them to do so, and everybody got their fair share. There was nobody being extorted with exorbitant interest rates. Everybody could get loans from the government at very, very small interest. And, you know, things were really going well in Russia.
Doctor, yes. We do have to take a quick 3-minute break.
No problem.
We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And Janice, am I saying your name properly?
Yes, and thank you for doing that.
All righty. So we're talking about the early in 1850, how everything seemed to kind of erupt. And you also you were talking basically about Russia.
Yeah.
I think this is a
good place to start because in 1815, Nathan Rothschild, a very famous Jewish banker, came to the Tsar Alexander in Russia and proposed that he be allowed to set up a central bank in Russia. And we all know what central banks, what a notorious history they have. Just look at the United States, for example. And, we've had, how many central banks have we had that have failed? We've had four before the one we have now, and that's on the verge of failing, although they won't let us audit them, so we can't see how bad it really is. But anyway, this is the way that the Jews began to control the nations, was central banking. And the Tsar declined. So, he was very suspicious because he knew the history of the Rothschilds, and he declined. And as a result of that, beginning in 1815 and beyond, the Tsars developed one of the best economies the world has ever seen in Russia. It was just absolutely phenomenal. It was a model of economic welfare for the people. The Jews wanted control, and the way they got control was by stealth. They the old story about Rasputin and Lenin and his company. Well, they were all Jewish people who basically took over Russia by stealth, who created a revolution, and this is the way the Jews throughout the Middle Ages got what they wanted. They created revolutions, and this one stuck in Russia. It became very big, and it was supported by the Communist Manifesto and atheism, and so that's where it all started back then. And then, and this is why, you know, as a Catholic, it's important for Catholics to know this, because we had an apparition of Mary who came in the Fatima visions in 1917 and pointed to Russia by name as the world source of evil, and that if the Church didn't consecrate Russia, that is, you know, do the proper prayers to appease God to take this evil out of the way, then Russia would spread her her evils throughout the world. And that's exactly what happened, because the Church failed in its job to do what heaven mandated, and Russia did spread her errors throughout all the world. As a matter of fact, in that prophecy, the Marian prophecy, Our Lady said that there would be a Second World War. She came when the First World War was just ending, and she said, if things don't change and the consecration isn't done and people don't live righteously, then a Second World War would come. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. And then after the Second World War, Russia dominated Europe and the Far East and basically spread its communism throughout the world. So, this is the larger picture behind all the stuff that Hugh is writing. Now, Hugh does touch on some of this in his book, but the larger picture is good to know, because we don't have to scratch our heads and wonder, well, gee, why is all this happening to us? Where is it coming from? Where is it going to all end up and all this? Well, we already know the answers to those questions. When Jesus first came in the first century, who were his biggest antagonists? Well, they were the Jews. It was not the Romans. It was the Jews. They denied everything he taught and even said that what he taught and what he did came from the devil. And they eventually crucified him. And, of course, today we have a big cry from, the Jewish contingents who say that, well, it's wrong to say that the Jews killed Christ. The Romans killed Christ. Well, that's not what history says. The Jews were the instigators of that. They had Christ killed. And after that, the Christianity came into power, and it more or less suppressed the Jews, and they were actually defeated by Hadrian, the Roman emperor, and Roman general, rather, and moved off into Babylon, and there they stayed for the next 1,000 years. And so they were more or less suppressed and dispersed, and even as the Bible had prophesied that would happen to them if they decided to rebel against God. And they did. And so Christianity was allowed to flower because of that. The Jews were basically taken out of the way. But the Bible also predicts that there's going to come a time where the Church is going to be suppressed. It's going to go into apostasy. And the devil and his minions are going to take over. And he's going to be using men, and in particular, he's using Jewish leaders to start all over again what had happened at the first coming of Christ. And this tells us that, we may be near the end, because the Bible is predicting that the Church will fall and the Jews will take over, and then the end will come. And, this is why we have no problem in understanding what's happening in the Middle East today. The Jews in the Middle East today, they want to build their temple, because they want to resurrect their religion, the same religion that they wanted when Jesus came the first time, that he told them that they shouldn't be doing. And they will resurrect their temple. They will get Greater Israel, which is a landmass that's approximately 10 times greater than the nation of Israel today, even the land that they've taken from the Palestinians. It's 10 times greater, and it encompasses Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Iraq, Iran, you name it. It's just a big, massive land. This is called Greater Israel, and they want this land because they intend on being the dominant race in the world, and they intend on being the leaders of the world.
All righty. Sorry to cut you off, but we do have to go to a break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost, and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Dr. Robert Sungenis, the founder of the Bellarmine, I'm probably not saying that right, report.
Bellarmine.
Okay. Like Sellerman. Okay. Okay. And that website is CatholicIntl.com. And it's very interesting. Somebody Skyped me and said, well, I know a lot of really wonderful Jews. And so we can't say that Jews dominate, because look at all those wonderful Jews out there. And it got me to thinking during the break that back in the time of Jesus, according to the New Testament, people wanted to be near him. They followed him. The crowds followed him. They were friendly towards him. But then the same people are the same people who then found him guilty and cried for his blood when the tables turned. And I think that there was some sort of crowd control that changed the population there in Jerusalem, so that and of course the Jews had no authority to put a man to death, and so they needed to have all of these people, all of these Jews, ask for his death in unison, and not just a few people going and saying to Pontius Pilate, well, you know, this is what we want.
Yes.
But what do you think? Is that crazy?
Oh, yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head there. And we need to put some flesh on this a little bit, because it's a very important point. Most Jews that I know are oblivious to the things that we're talking about. I'd say, you know, 90% of them are. Most Jews that I know who live, you know, normal everyday lives go about, they do their work, they have their families, they do their thing, and they're decent people, but they are like everybody else. They are controlled by leadership, just as it was back in the time of Jesus. It was the Jewish leadership that was the problem, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Those were the groups that Jesus always had his confrontations with. In John 6, we read about the people who were following Jesus, this was the general population of Jews there. Now, they did have their problems, however, like you pointed out, Deanna, when Jesus says, I'm the Son of God, and I want you to take part of me, well, that's when they all left him, because they just couldn't get over that hump, that This guy really was who he said he was. But they were influenced by the Jewish leaders not to believe in Jesus. I mean, if you go through the book of John, almost every chapter, the Pharisees are the main enemy. John refers to them as the Jews, but he's really talking about the leadership there. So, to sum it up, yes, there are a lot of good Jewish people out there. Most of them have no idea what's going on in the world. But they are controlled by the Jewish leadership. And we're talking about, when we talk about Jewish leadership, we're talking about the Jewish World Congress. We're talking about AIPAC. We're talking about the ADL. All these, what someone has referred to as the big Jews. These are the people with the money, the influence, the power that tell the other Jews how to live or what to think or how to respond. And basically control their lives. And we would add to that leadership the present Likud party in Israel, run by Shimon Peres and Benjamin Netanyahu or Ariel Sharon. Go down the list. These are the leaders. These are the people that influence how other Jewish people are to think. So you have to make those distinctions, and it's very important to make those distinctions so nobody misunderstands what we're saying.
Right. I think you could say the same thing about any large group, whether you're talking about Republicans or Democrats or whatever. I mean, if you associate with a large group, you're going to develop a group mentality. And just because the Republican leadership says, oh, let's go and bomb Iraq or Afghanistan, doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. But the Republicans, because we have this herd mentality, well, you can include the Democrats in this also, but because we have this herd mentality, we follow the crowd. We do this in our classrooms. We don't raise our hands when the teacher says something that we are skeptical of. This is a way that we have been indoctrinated.
That's right, and it's got its good and bad points. the leadership, when it's good, it's a tremendous blessing. We were just talking about Russia. They had some great leadership there in the czars who gave these peasant people the best economy that any peasant group has ever had in the history of the world. They had good leadership, you see. At that point, it's an advantage to have good leaders. But when the leaders turn sour, oh boy, it's probably one of the worst things that could ever happen to a population. And we're seeing that today.
When the wicked rule, the people mourn, correct?
That's right. You got that right. But it's good to make, sometimes when you get into these discussions, the population at large, that is the general consensus of people who have a certain understanding, they're called sheeple, it's a cross between the word sheep and people. And Jesus even referred to people as sheep. And sheep, if you know anything about them, they don't have all their wits about them a lot of times when they don't have correct leadership. They can easily go astray, Jesus often talked about that, to find the sheep that went astray and bring them back to the fold. They're easily led, they're very, they believe you, when you talk to them. They want to believe you. They want good things. They are looking for the right way to do things. And so in that sense, they're vulnerable.
Right.
Because they're looking for good things, and bad people take advantage of that. If they know you're looking for good things, they will make it look like they're giving you good things, but actually giving you evil things.
Right. And, of course, I think the Jewish people are more unified and have maintained unity for so many years because of the way that they lived. They were ghettoized. The rabbis had a lot of control over every aspect of their lives. That's why they easily adopted communism with all its rules and regulations. And I believe that the Jews here in this country, when push comes to shove, they will support Israel rather than their own country.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, the rabbis are a good point to bring up here. I mean, me being a Catholic, sometimes we're often criticized because people say, well, you just follow what the Pope says, but the Pope is mild compared to what the rabbis teach the Jewish people. The rabbis are the leaders, and in Jewish circles, you listen to whatever the rabbi says. And it is a fact of history, however, that the rabbis are the ones who are the basic movers and shakers of what the Jewish people are to think. And the rabbis, if you read the books of these rabbis, past books and current books, what you find is that these rabbis are rabid racists. They believe that the Jewish people are supreme, that they have the DNA of God in their blood. This is what they teach the people, So what do you expect these people to believe? They are brought up this way. They are brought up to believe by the rabbi's teaching that Gentiles are animals, that they are to be cheated and abused and killed or whatever in order for the Jews to gain supremacy over the world. So this is a case where, again, it's the Jewish leadership that is the problem. It's not the Jewish people at large that's the problem. And the rabbis throughout history have had this dominance over the people. And basically, if you don't do what they say, you are ousted and you are no longer part of the group. And that's great pressure upon a family,
Right. And look at the people who, the Jewish people who have spoken out against certain practices in Israel. They call themselves hating Jews.
Oh, sure.
And so you just don't speak out, period.
Yeah, you just don't speak out. They are good at suppressing any opposite opinion, whether it comes from Jews or Gentiles. They have a market on this, and they know how to work it. Believe me, they've been at it for a long time, and they've used the same formula over and over again. It's definitely a fact. There's a group called, what's it called, Chabad Lubavitch.
Right.
It's an association of rabbis across the world. And these are the guys that you see the presidents of the United States getting their picture taken with. Whenever we have a new president, Obama, for example, had his picture taken with the rabbis from Chabad Lubavitch. George Bush did, Bill Clinton did, Ronald Reagan did. You just go down the line of these presidents, and basically it's just showing you what's going on behind the scenes without actually saying it. These guys are in control.
Right.
So anyway,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead. Go ahead and say what you wanted to say.
If they didn't want another opinion, they would not control all of the media and all of Hollywood. If they were interested in another opinion other than their own.
Oh, sure, yeah. They figured out a long time ago that the way to control a society is to control the flow of information. That's why, of all the top information sources we have today, that includes newspapers like the New York Times. It's owned by the Zalzberg family. Totally Jewish. The Washington Post, Graham, she's Jewish. She gets her Graham name from her husband. She owns, she's a Jewish, she owns the Washington Post. The LA Times, the Chicago Tribune, you go down the list. All the major newspapers are owned by Jews. Zell just bought the Chicago Tribune just a few years ago. And then you got the television. You have NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, and MSNBC, all owned by Jews. The movie industry, you go down the line there, Universal Studios, Columbia Pictures, almost every major film production company in the United States owned by Jews. Radio, magazines, Newsweek, Time Magazine, for example, all owned by Jews. And if you look at the names in these magazines, they're all written by Jews. Okay, so I don't need to belabor the point here. The point is made that the Jews control the flow of information. It's very, very hard to fight that. And that's why I wanted to go, if you don't mind, I wanted to go to the larger picture here, because you would think, you're looking at all this and you read Hugh's book and you're just like overwhelmed. What in the world are we going to do about this? How do you fight something like this? Because they're in every sector of society. And these Jewish leaders basically dictate to everyone how you're supposed to think. How are we going to fight this? Well, there is only one way to fight it. And that's why me as a Catholic, I'm not ashamed to say that the popes have it in their power. If they did what heaven had told them to do back in 1929, when they were told to do a consecration to stop all these evils from spreading in the world, well, we would stop this march of the Jewish leaders to control the world dead in its tracks. This is a spiritual battle. It's much bigger than Hugh's book. It's much bigger than culture wars, or it's much bigger than the AIPAC or the Jewish World Congress. This is a battle between God and the devil. And the devil has his minions, and he's using the Jews as his partners in crime. And God has his, and the church is the one who's fighting against it. Unfortunately, the church is very weak today. That's because they have been deceived by these Jewish leaders. I mean, I could tell you stories that would make your hair curl about how the Jewish leadership has influenced our Catholic cardinals and our popes to just become very weak and not do what they're supposed to do. So, again, I'm just reiterating, there's a larger picture behind this. This is a very spiritual battle, as the New Testament tells us, what is going on in the world today.
And you also have the infiltration of all of the Christian churches that started in London about 1809, and we go back to the same people, meaning the Rothschilds, who basically funded and financed and promoted Christian Zionism.
So you have
a lot of Christian people who are going along with the Jews.
This is called the double flank approach that the Jewish leaders have used. Not only are they overtly against Christianity, they come into Christianity by stealth, pretending to be friends of Christianity in order to upset Christianity. And this is a perfect ploy of the devil. That's exactly what he did in the Garden of Eden. You know, he made himself the friend of Adam and Eve and made God look like the devil. So it's a perfect ploy. It always works, you know. But what you're talking about specifically was the Rothschilds had funded Oxford University, and Oxford University produced Jonathan Darby. Darby was what they call a premillennial dispensationalist who believed that the Jews were still the chosen people. He believed that they were destined to reign over the world in the future. He hired C.I. Schofield, who wrote the Schofield Reference Bible in 1909, published it first in England and then in America. And C.I. Schofield basically held the same idea, the dispensationalist idea, that the Christian era was only a parenthesis in the plan of God. It was just a sort of an interim period. The real period, according to C.I. Schofield and Darby, was when the Jews were going to gain control of the world again in the thousand-year millennium. So all this stuff that you see, Pat Robertson or John Hagee or Gary Bauer, you know, politician, these are all Christian Zionists who have this sort of delusion that somehow Catholic history has read the Bible wrong, that Christianity was to be the dominant force, and that the real reason God had created this world was to put the Jews in power, and that's going to happen sometime in the future. They're all under this delusion, and all the money and the influence and the teachings, all the Bible colleges in the United States, all the seminaries, Protestant seminaries, basically hold to this idea. And it's these religious leaders, the Pat Robertsons and the John Hagees, that have constant contact with our presidents, George Bush or Bill Clinton, whoever it is, weekly. And I can go down a list of about two dozen of these evangelical leaders that have constant access to the White House, constantly influencing policy in favor of Israel. So right. It's not only from the Jewish leadership, it's from the Christian leadership itself that we're having
exactly.
this problem.
Exactly. And then we also have a kosher White House kitchen and a menorah at the White House. All righty, we do have to take a three-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back. Stop collection calls and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. My guest today is Dr. Robert Sungenis, and his website is CatholicINTL.com. It is linked on the radio schedule page. And the book that we are talking about or making reference to is Synagogue Rising, and that website is SynagogueRising.com, and it's a book by Hugh Atkins. And you were talking about the infiltration of the churches, and that happened in the 1800s, even before the so-called Civil War, where they were secularizing all of the theological seminaries So this isn't something that just happened in the last few decades.
That's right. Nothing of this magnitude happens overnight. That is for sure. It's been building for about 200 years. And yes, you're right. As a matter of fact, that's when liberalism, theological liberalism, started to make its heyday in the mid-1800s. And it was pushed through by the universities from the Enlightenment era. And what they were basically saying is the basic kernel of liberalism, it was to find a way to humanize Jesus Christ. It was called the search for the historical Jesus. Basically what these scholars were doing, and they were supported by Jewish money, what they were doing was trying to separate the miracles of Jesus in the New Testament from the human Jesus. And everything, every time you would run up with against a miracle, like, you know, walking on water, well, these liberals would say, well, the way to explain that, well, Jesus was just walking in shallow water, you see. And in order to accentuate Christianity and to make it spread with power, the apostles interpreted this as Jesus actually walking on water, you know, deep water. So in other words, the apostles who wrote the New Testament lied to us about what really happened back then. And this was a movement started by Jews and liberal Protestants in the 1800s, and you got from this the Wellhausen theory that the book of Genesis and Deuteronomy, all these books were written by, they weren't written by Moses and didn't give us any historical truth. They were actually fabrications of Jews who came out from Babylonian captivity in 515 B.C. So again, you know, basically the Bible's lying to us. And this idea really caught on. Liberalism is basically a way of saying that the Bible's not giving us the true story. It's all fact and, I mean, it's all fiction and allegory and myth and metaphors and all kinds of things like that. So, and you needed this. I mean, in order for the Jews to take over, there had to be a way to rip the foundation of Christianity out from under it. And since Scripture was the authority that gave Christianity what it needed to make doctrine, well, the only way that you could take out that foundation was by making the foundation look like it was faulty. And the way you did this was basically say that Scripture doesn't mean what it says it means. And this is how evolution took off, the theory of evolution. Basically, now you could say, well, Genesis wasn't really talking about history back then. It wasn't really interested in history. It was just interested, as they say now, just interested in salvation. To take the history away from it, and it's just interested in salvation. It sounds real good, doesn't it?
Right.
It sounds real good. But no, if you take the history out of the Bible, you don't have any salvation anymore. The two work hand in hand.
I'm sorry. We do have to take our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after a station ID.
Are you against